want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why do you want to talk to an old street preacher?
I just think, well, especially in the biblical, like, view of where we should talk to believers. I mean, if you're here, like, I came to this.
What do you see when you look around? You see worldliness?
Not necessarily.
You don't? How about how people are dressed?
Oh, I completely agree with you there.
So is that worldliness?
Well, I don't believe in all aspects of worldliness, because I believe there's people here who are truly saved, or truly, even if they're coming to enjoy Christian music.
But when you say saved is not a finished destination. It's a process, and you must endure in it till the end. So if they don't have the fruit of being a follower of Christ, that their heart's been transformed by the shed blood of Jesus and repentance to Him, and if they're born again from above, I've been preaching this all day, the fruit you're born again is holiness and obedience. The Holy Spirit takes you to the Scriptures, and you endure in the faith. Now, what we're finding is a whole bunch of people here that are claiming churchianity for many, many years. They haven't even studied to see the gospel they preach is false because they still love the things of the world. Jesus said, "My sheep are not of the world." These people all still love Netflix. They love football. They love politics. They love hunting. Fishing is idolatry. That's not the fruit you've come out. And so the fruit I see here is rotten fruit today. Holy, godly people dress, live, and act like holy, godly people. Did you know that God killed animals and put us in a garment that covers our body up? You're a young man. You're not married, right?
I am not.
Wouldn't it be nice if young women dressed in a way that you didn't have to look at their body parts?
Would that
not help you not to lust?
I mean, I completely agree.
That's what God ordained from Genesis 3, and man should have been following it. But guess what man does? His own sinful way.
Correct.
And man decides to do what he wants. That's called rebellion and sin, and that's going to put you outside of the kingdom of God. So Jesus shed blood does not automatically cover all your sin. You have to repent and forsake your sin. He gives you the eligibility to become made right with God. But you have to then follow Him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Correct. They're not keeping the commandments of God here.
So
they're walking against the commandments of God.
Specifically, I just want to ask you, like, of what commandments specifically? Because, I believe...
Well, first of all, they don't preach the biblical gospel that calls you out of the world.
Well, I believe... Well, I've probably gone to a church that preaches that.
The number one gospel, the number one commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They're not doing that because they're not obeying Him. You obey God by loving Him.
Correct.
Okay, I'm going to turn around this way. So let's do it this way.
So I have to look at the sun.
You obey God by loving Him. Mm-hmm. And anything you do that is not obeying God and you willfully keep sinning, you're not loving God. You're in sin. That sin is on your record or my record. It's not on Jesus' record. The only sin that's on Jesus' record is all your past sin you repented of, washed away and gone. Your present sin, if you go, Lord, I sinned against you today. I repent, cleanse me. I don't want to keep doing it. And your future sins, when you slip and fall or choose it, you repent and turn from it. If you live and you practice sin, do you believe a practicing sodomite that claims to be a Christian will make it to the kingdom of God?
No.
How about a practicing drunk?
No.
How about a practicing liar?
No.
How about a person that practices pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter that God never ordained?
Well, that's the thing.
That's a lie.
If you're taking it in the context of what they originally...
That's said. A lie. Those are lies. Good Friday's a lie. He didn't die on Friday, and he didn't rise on Sunday.
But it's still the celebration of that. I believe in any day you can still celebrate that.
God did not tell you to celebrate that, young man. You're practicing a Roman Catholic holiday.
But at the same time, you can't celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Every day we're told to preach Christ. But that's, you do it on Easter in unison with the Roman Catholic pagans.
Just bringing more attention.
But you should reject man-made traditions. Here's why. In Matthew 15, Jesus said, if you keep man-made traditions and worship God in them, your worship's in vain. Go read it.
You worship God
in vain in your man-made traditions.
If you're relying only on the pagan tradition. But
no.
You mean it from the heart.
No, it doesn't say that. It says if you keep man-made traditions, you worship God in vain. God killed a couple, a man and a woman, in Acts 5 for one lie.
Ananias.
For one lie. You're practicing many lies in churchianity.
Correct.
And God hasn't killed you yet.
But what does Peter say in that passage?
You should repent today.
What does Peter say in that passage?
He said many things.
You have not only lied to me, you have lied to God.
Right. Correct. And you're lying to God when you say, God, I'm offering Christmas and Easter to you. God said, I never told you to do that.
That's not how I preach.
Sure it is. That's what the churches do.
I'm sacrificing every day
to
God.
See, if you're here, are you here for this music?
I'm here just to celebrate.
That's the fruit. This is not worship. This is entertainment. That's the fruit that you haven't gone deep enough in the scriptures. What church do you go to?
Right now, I was practicing, so I was at a church camp most of the summer. I was practicing, like, preaching to kids, you know, trying to get through that.
Yeah.
So right now I go to a First Baptist church.
Okay, Baptist was invented in the 1600s.
Okay.
God never ordained it. They keep the pagan holidays. They're
so you
feminized.
Believe, you believe Catholics is the only ordained church?
No,
what
Roman Catholics are pagans.
So what is the ordained
There's only one true body, and it's the body Christ called, his ecclesia, and it's people like me and my saints that I know around the world, or as other ones I don't know about, that came out of the world and came out of all the false church systems. If you're worshiping in anything but spirit and truth, Jace, you're not worshiping Jesus Christ.
Here's the thing. You say it wasn't ordained by every church. So how are you supposed to ordain the churches that come out of Romans?
No.
That come out of Roma.
No.
Of Rome, like,
ordained,
oh,
ordained means God set it in motion. I keep all the traditions that Paul handed down through Jesus. I don't keep the evangelical traditions.
What were the traditions that he gave? So baptism, I believe.
Yep. Water baptism, the Lord's Supper, and 1,050 commands in the New Testament.
Right. They're commands.
So that's what we keep. That's what we keep in the New Testament. We don't keep man-made inventions like Christmas, Easter, building-centered faith done away with, one guy in a box preaching every Sunday. Sunday's not the Lord's day, it's a lie. Saturday was, it's no longer. We're resting every day in Jesus, according to Hebrews 4.
Okay.
He didn't rise on Sunday, he didn't die on Friday, another lie. Feminization.
So you're saying we shouldn't celebrate at all?
No, God did not tell us to celebrate. Who makes days holy, men or God?
God.
He didn't make it holy.
Why not such?
He didn't make it holy.
God, and you set those days apart.
You're adding to God's worship.
How?
You're adding to God's worship. In Leviticus 10, two priests, they were priests of God. Now, we're supposed to be priests of God today. The two priests of God in Leviticus 10 went before God and they said, we're going to bring this fire that God did not tell us to bring. It's called strange fire in the Bible. They brought it. And you know what the Lord thy God said? I did not tell you to bring that. Fire from heaven turned them into charcoal briquettes. In Acts 5, God kills a husband and wife after Jesus comes and grace had come. Imagine that. After grace had come, his wrath is still there. Kills them for one lie to the Holy Spirit.
To the Holy Spirit.
Doesn't matter. You're lying through the Holy Spirit, adding your pagan ways, being of the world, not dressing your temple biblical, being united to this swill, to the Baptist
right
church.
Now, what is wrong with my dress?
Well, you're showing your form off, and you're putting words on your temple.
Where
and you're wearing shorts that are short.
Where does it say not to do that?
In Genesis 3:21.
Okay, in Genesis. So what about when...
You just asked me a question.
When the Lord comes to... I might be getting it mixed up. I believe it's Peter or Paul. And they says, why not eat? He shows them all the uncleanliness of pork, of all that. He says, why? Why is your hand...
What I say is clean.
Yep, you're on the wrong trail. That was Torah law. I don't teach Torah law. Torah law was given to the Israelites for Israel.
Correct.
Genesis 3 is pre-Torah. Torah was not given until Exodus 16.
Okay.
If you guys get married, hopefully to one woman...
I am married.
Okay, doing pre-Torah. God said one man for one woman, one woman for one man. If you protect your wife when a grizzly bear attacks her, would you?
Yeah.
You're taking dominion over an animal. That's pre-Torah. God said don't drink blood in Genesis 9. That's pre-Torah. So we do keep pre-Torah things. So in Genesis 3, God killed an animal and shed blood after man sinned and put us in tunic-like garments so our forms will be covered.
So you believe the new covenant is the same as the covenant before the Torah?
No. It's a new blood covenant, but it brings with it things from pre-Torah that are echoed in the New Testament. Jesus, all the disciples, all wore tunics and robes.
Did you pick what gets carried over and what doesn't?
No. Pre-Torah. I just told you.
Everything pre-Torah.
No.
Everything.
Everything.
Everything pre-Torah.
Everything. Everything pre-Torah. Name something from pre-Torah that we shouldn't do today.
The entire new covenant means nothing. And we're just pre-Torah.
No.
That's what you're saying.
No. I said I keep the New Testament and some pre-Torah things. You know, listen, I got it all on audio.
Two is the sum.
I got it all on audio.
Okay.
No, because some are not applicable for today.
Oh, so I don't think dressing in tunics is applicable today.
It is applicable. Ready?
Why?
Because you don't know. You're a mocker, I can tell. Look at you, your body language. You're in your flesh.
Okay, so stop. Okay, don't hold on. Personal attacks.
No. A mocker, it's not a personal attack. It's a spiritual example of who he is not. Adam was given to tend a garden. We don't have to do that anymore. That was something that was in pre-Torah specifically for Adam. Genesis 3 is given to all mankind, and it's echoed all through the New Testament. Jesus, Paul, all of them wore robes and tunics, so did women, to cover our forms. But get back to this. This is worldliness and carnality, and I'm going to go keep preaching the gospel.
Wait, I have a question. I walked by earlier. I heard you say...
If you would like to test me...
No, hold on.
To the word of God, you can email me.
Sir, I have one question.
You look fleshly, and I don't usually talk to fleshly men.
I preach on Sundays. I'm a quarantine for 2 years.
Really?
I'm married. I'm 22. I'm looking to have kids.
You're a novice. You're a novice before God because you don't know the foundations. If you're here, you don't know the truth of God.
You're humble for calling me novice. Now, hold on.
Really?
Hold on.
Humble and meek is getting under God's word. I'm under God's word. He said a novice shouldn't teach anyone. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
So novices shouldn't teach. Now, at 22, on. You're a novice.
What makes you determine that? Where my spiritual walk is.
I can see
because
your fruit.
Because you're better than me.
Your fruit. I'm not better than anybody.
How do you know
I'm not better than anybody, but I see your fruit, and
what's
you're
my,
worldly.
What's my
You're worldly.
Have you met me before?
Yeah, I can tell. You're here.
Yeah, so what?
This is a worldly event.
Okay.
I'm here preaching against it.
Did I hear you say that the blood of Jesus does not come off.
To the word of God. We love our neighbor today. Lifting up the biblical gospel. Turn and seek the kingdom of God in spirit and truth, neighbor.
So I just listed everything, you know.
Yeah, how you folks doing? Good to meet you. Good to meet you. My name's Tupos. So she said a lot of stuff, Raleigh. Can we help you with anything? This isn't biblical Christianity. This is flesh. This is not lifting up the biblical gospel of coming out of the world. When you live like the world, act like the world, live in pride and vanity, follow politics, sports, entertainment, this is nothing of Jesus. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Not me, they follow him. Jesus did not lead you here. This is flesh. Jesus doesn't lead you to the Sunday church building that's made of man. There's no pulpit in the Bible that tells one guy to stand there and preach and do a bunch of things and tell you it's okay to be of the world. It's okay. We're all going to sin a lot. The blood of Jesus covers you. We already have a testing up of this on our website for free. We don't take anybody's money. I want to give you everything for free. On our website is a testing of Lifelight. Do you know about Skillet?
Yep.
John Cooper? He is a worldly, carnal, wicked man. And I love John. I got a video of him. He took his band to play at Hellfest. You know what Hellfest is?
Yes.
It's a satanic gathering for all the Black Sabbath satanic bands. John went there to play, not to preach the gospel, not to call them to repentance. I have a video. Look up my testing of Lifelight. It's on our front page. John Cooper's on stage doing this. What is this?
That's the horns.
John Cooper will meld with anybody for mammon. He's worth $12 million. He didn't invent a company. How do you think he made $12 million? Selling the things of God. What did Jesus make a whip for in John 2? Turning over the tables because they were selling and making profit off the Father. And so he also, Marvel Comics, would you call, I don't know if these guys are all Marvel, but I'll just use examples, Batman, Superman, Iron Man, all the guys that fly around with mystic, pagan, witchcraft powers, would you call them of God?
No.
John Cooper says that Hollywood is doing a good thing by giving us all archetypes of a superhero like Jesus. He loves Marvel. He's addicted to it. He does a comic strip where he's like a Marvel character. I got pictures of it on my website. You've seen that. This man is not of God. He's deceiving people. And that's just one example. Colton Dixon's going to come on. Colton Dixon's going to come on stage. Do you know who Colton Dixon is? All right, you guys aren't very old. Do you remember a guy named Vanilla Ice?
Oh, yep.
When I was a pagan, ice, baby. This guy danced around, hooped up hair, jewelry, makeup. That's Colton Dixon. Standing right in front of me, I got a video. It's going to be on the testing. So I preached to him for 20 minutes, the gospel, the oracles of God, everything. And he said, yeah, it's only what you have to say, preacher. And I said, Colton, I love you. You're a worldly man at this worldly event with a false gospel. Can you tell me anything biblical? I said, I'll listen if you tell me biblical things. What did he do, Sister Amin? He goes, he had nothing biblical to tell me. Because you know why he won't say anything? I'm going to test everything to where? Scriptures. And so if you test everything to scriptures, you'll find out your church system and this place, it's probably built to make your flesh feel good. And to bring in more people. Bounce houses, water fights. I've seen it where the pastor covers himself with whipped cream and they throw juju beads at him. Everything to please people, but not the true gospel, not holiness, because that's what really calls true saints. So to follow Jesus by the biblical gospel, his shed blood, death, burial, resurrection, he's the only way. Repentance to him, you're going to lose your life. Not physical life, maybe someday, but you're going to lose your family, your friends, maybe your career if it's worldly. I was a salesman. Can you imagine being a salesman trying to be a born-again Christian? It don't work. They want you to lie, twist the truth. You know, if you had poodles on your shirt, they tell you, oh, tell them poodles are your favorite dog. You know, lie. I didn't do none of that stuff. That job didn't last long. So we sold everything we owned. We're vandalers now. We travel to preach the gospel, support ourselves. But by the shed blood of Jesus, repentance, and you're born again, the Holy Spirit takes you and he teaches you all truth, John 16. And so these churches are not taking you to all truth. They're giving you some truth. But I have a question. Are you folks married?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Engaged.
Engaged. Would you feed your beloved fiance rat poison?
No.
Why?
It's poisonous and killer.
That sounds to make sense to me. How much poison is in it?
Quite a bit. Kills a rat. Not much.
I'm an old farmer. About 6 to 8% of it's poison. That's it. The rest of it is yummy protein that the rat loves and it goes through his bloodstream and kills him. These places will preach truth to get it in your bloodstream. And then there's a whole bunch of false gospels, false ways, worldliness that is the poison that kills your spirit, kills your soul. I heard their gospel. You know what their gospel was? Alan Green, the guy running this, who lied. The security guards tried to throw me off here in the first 5 seconds. Do you believe in free speech?
Yeah.
This is a sidewalk. This is a street. They called the police on me in the first 5 seconds. And you know what the police told him? Is what's he doing? He's on the street. What's he doing? Well, he's holding a sign. What's he doing? Cop said, can't do nothing. It's on a street and a sidewalk. They didn't come up to me and say, hey, why are you guys here? We love you. Let's open our Bible. Let's find out why we differ. Hey, let's see if we can find unity and maybe you're wrong, I'm wrong. No. Within 5 seconds, they put their hands on me and said, you got to go. And I said, we're not going anywhere. We love you. Cops told him, leave him alone. The other security guard, Alan Green, comes up to me. He goes, they didn't tell you to leave. They just wanted to pray with you. I said, you're a liar, sir. I got it on audio. It's going to go on my testing. But I listened to his gospel. You know what Alan Green's gospel was? If you want to find eternal life, tell Jesus, we're going to say a prayer, 30 seconds, just 30 seconds, hold on, hold. No, what's what he was saying? Hold on, 30 seconds, I'm going to get you to eternal life in 30 seconds. Is that what Jesus did?
No, did it right now.
He said, tell Jesus you believe in him, you feel bad about your sin, you want to be a friend of God and you want eternal life. Congratulations if you meant it, you're going to heaven. You know what's lacking in that gospel? You believe in Jesus, you repent. There was no turning of sin. When you get married, and if she gets a boyfriend on the side, terrible thing. She sinned against you. She comes to you and says, forgive me, please. I'm sure you would never do that. I hope you don't. But, well, God's, the Bible says man's heart is deceitfully wicked, so we have to be careful because we could fall. So always guard yourself. What if she said, forgive me? What's the first thing you're going to ask her to do? She got a boyfriend on the side. Forgive her. What's the first thing you're going to ask her to do?
Get rid of the boyfriend.
What if she said to you, what's your first name?
Chris.
What if she said to you, Chris, I love you in my heart, like all these Christians say, but I'm going to keep the guy on the side, but it's you I love in my heart. Would that be enough for you?
No.
Why is it enough for everybody to tell God, I love you in my heart, but I'm just a big sinner. I'm going to keep sinning. You don't have to keep sinning. You're a hypocrite. You don't have to keep sinning. I'm not sinless, but here's the big difference, Chris. I don't practice and live in sin. I can slip in it. I could choose it for a time. When God's Spirit convicts me, guess what I do? I leave it. I left Christmas. I left Easter. I left the church system. I left my pride and vanity. I used to be a bodybuilder. I'm not proud of this, but I looked in the mirror more than 100 women combined. That's what I used to do. I know pride and vanity. The whole church system is built on pride and vanity. What makes me feel good, look good. You got to come out of all that. And John the Baptist, who was the greatest man who ever lived according to Jesus. Did you know that? The greatest man ever born of a woman. I don't know about you. I want to model that guy. The greatest man who ever came out of a woman. And John the Baptist died over calling out one sin, by the way. So if you hear the street preacher calling out sin and going, well, how are you going to win people that way? Don't tell it to John the Baptist. John the Baptist told Herod, you're in sin because you married your brother's wife. That's an unlawful marriage. It is loving to call you out of sin. If you were a drunk and I knew you were a drunk, I'd say, Chris, I love you. You got to stop that. You're going to lose your soul. We'll help you. Come on, Chris. If I go, I don't matter, Chris. You're drunk. She's got a boyfriend and cheating on you. She's an adulterer. You guys are going, okay, you're going to heaven no matter what. Can you find that in the scriptures?
No.
So their gospel was a lame 30-second gospel that pleases the ear. And isn't it amazing that the Bible says in the last days that people's ears will be tickled by preachers and easy believism? And the Bible says if you're a true disciple of Jesus, the world will hate you. Do you think the world hates this? It doesn't. You think the world hates Skillet and Colton Dixon? They love them because they don't call anybody out of sin. They don't live for righteousness. They're not preaching the truth that convicts people. But I'm hated, and I know why I'm hated, because I stand for righteousness. I call out the church system. Jesus did. Paul did. Who were the enemies of Jesus?
Pharisees.
Pharisees, the religious leaders. My biggest enemy, modern pastors and pew sitters. Guess who, when you expose false teachers, guess who hates it the most?
Satan.
Say, oh, you're right. Good one. He's number one. Second, who would hate it?
I'm not sure.
The false teacher. And then those who promote false teachers. But people that see false teachers go, yeah, expose them. They need to be exposed. So I've been doing all the preaching. Any questions? Anything I said not biblical? I would encourage you folks to go a lot deeper. We know saints all over the world that we fellowship and unite with. If you ever want a Bible study, you got my email. You got the website for free. We don't want your money. Go deep. We'll encourage you. If you ever want to be edified every day by godly people that have come out of the world, look at us. We don't look like the world. God calls us out of the world. We're supposed to be out of the world. And if Jesus came back today, if Paul came back today, if John the Baptist came back today, they would be mocked and hated as much as I am. They would not fit into the world. They wouldn't change how they look, act, talk, and dress to fit into the world. This is our temple. We should treat it with reverence. And God gave us clothing as a sin covering. Genesis 3, he actually shed blood, an archetype of Jesus, and covered us. That's why we dress different. The Bible teaches women to cover their heads. It's in 1 Corinthians 11. Most of the church world taught that for 1900 years until feminism came along. You're too young, but feminism came along in the, really came along in about the last 100 years, and the head coverings came off, worldliness came on, and the fruit of it. What's the fruit of feminization? Ready? Divorce. Here's a true fact for you. 70% of divorces are requested by, because they want freedom, they want power, they want this. Homosexuality. It's rooted in feminism. Transgenderism, rooted in feminism. Abortion. Also, most of the time, it's the woman who wants the abortion. The father's going, don't do this, please. They're suing in court. Don't kill my baby. I'll raise him. You just have him and give him to me. Nope, I'm killing him. It's my body. So, feminism. And where is the original feminism in the Bible, Chris? First act of feminism. She said it. The garden.
Oh,
yeah. Eve. So when you get married, I hope your wife puts herself under you, as you're the authority. I hope you believe that. That's what the Bible teaches. You're the authority. And then I hope you never want men like me coming up and trying to get at your wife around the side. You'll notice when I preach, and I get a lot of grief for this. Let's say she was a feminist woman. Your wife, your fiance is being very nice, but let's say she was a feminist woman and getting in my face, and I'll say, "Ma'am, are you married?" She goes, "Yeah." And I say, "Is he a Christian?" "Yeah." And I go, "Would you have him email me? Because I want to respect his house and I don't want to preach over him today, and have him call me." "Oh, you hate women. Don't want to talk to women. Jesus talked to women." And they attack me for that, and that's feminism. But I'm just following God's order. I never want to teach over another man's wife. I want to teach him. So then he can make sure it's true to teach her. Now, we do talk to women that walk by and stuff, and we'll tell them, "Have your husbands contact us." But we're just trying to follow the biblical order. This ain't it. This is just entertainment. And Christ is coming. You know, you believe he's coming back. There's no pre-trib rapture. It's another lie. We got articles about that. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "I come at the end of the tribulation." Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he comes at the end of the tribulation. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Few are going to find eternal life." Always look at Greek and Hebrew words when you study. That word "few" means puny. A puny number of Americans are going to find eternal life. 8 got on the ark out of a couple million, maybe 10 million, who knows? 8. 3 came out of Sodom. was probably several hundred thousand people or several thousands of people in Sodom. It was a major trading city. Ready for this one? Two came out of Israel that went in the Holy Land out of 600,000 fighting age men. It says it right in the Bible. I think it's Numbers. It says it, 600,000 men. You know which two? Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb came out because what was Israel's problem, the rest of them? You remember?
They lived basically on, so they're the Jewish leaders, right?
Yeah, they were stiff-necked. They were complaining.
Oh, idolatry.
Yeah, they were complaining, doing idolatry. They got water and everything. They said, we want to go back to Egypt and have leeks and onions and all the good stuff. And God said, I brought you out of there to serve me, and you just want to go back for the food. Have you noticed how gluttonous America is? And when I say gluttonous, I don't mean big fat alone. There is a lot of heavy people. Gluttonous just means a voracious appetite for flesh. Oh, man, what's on next? NFL. Ooh, right after that, Netflix movie. Oh, I'm going to the gym so I look good. Man, look at that smorgasbord. I'm eating and drinking beer. That's gluttonous. That's feeding your flesh. We're supposed to be in the spirit. We got to eat, but we just eat what we need. And then we come out of the world. And Jesus only did about five things. He slept. He worked and ate. He fellowshiped with people. He certainly studied as a young boy. He studied and he went and preached the gospel and restored himself in the Father's creation. He never went and did pagan games. He didn't follow the pagan culture. He did five holy things. That's it. And if you're a disciple of Christ, that's all we do. This is not our hobby. This is our life. This is what we do. We disciple saints online. I teach. I get thousands of articles for free, as I said. We encourage people to follow after Christ and come out of this. And when you do, here's my challenge. You go to a church today. You go to this one, Central Church?
Yep.
Okay. If they keep Christmas and Easter and they're feminized and they don't call you out of the world, they're not biblical. You're not going to please God by following a false church. Take a break from the church system. Tell everybody you know, I'm not falling away. I'm going to take a month or two. I'm going to go in the scripture because I've heard some stuff from a street preacher, maybe you did, that I got to go prove. He's either crazy or what he's saying is true. And if what he's saying is true, I cannot be united to this. I'm going to clear my head. I'll come back when I'm ready. That's what I challenge people to do. And then if you need help, my website's there. Go in the Word of God. Go into the Gospels and the Epistles. The Old Testament is great, but go into the Gospels. See what Jesus calls you to. Go read Matthew, and you'll see Jesus over saying, come, do, follow, obey, lose your life. American Christianity is just believe and you're going to heaven and you have a good life. Jesus said in Luke 13, strive to enter through the straight and narrow way. Do you know what that word strive in the Greek means? It's not like this. Oh, it's easy. I got get out of hell card in my back pocket. It means fight. When you get married, you're going to have to fight for your marriage. There's going to be times when it gets tension. You're going to have issues. You not fight physically, not fight at each other, but fight and say, oh, I got to put my flesh down. Oh, he keeps throwing his dirty underwear in the middle of the hall. Oh, I got to kill my flesh about that. You know, us men aren't perfect. Did you know that? So we got to come out of our flesh into marriage. And just like that, we have to come out of our flesh in Christ and follow him. And he gives us the grace to do that by the Spirit. But if we don't come out of that, you're never going to see it. And God will begin to show you things. He'll convict you. And you'll never be able to go back to worldly church again if you're his. If you're not his and you don't listen, he's going to take whatever light he's given you and say, I'm going to go give that to somebody else because you're not obeying it. That's what he does. And you'll be turned over and you'll be further from the truth than you were before. But if you say, God, I heard that. I'm going to obey it. You took a step. What do you think God's going to do now? He's going to give you more truth. And he's going to say, follow this. And you go. And God says, keep going. As you draw near to God, James says, he draws near to you. Most people hear the truth and they go, nah. And they go that direction. Kind of like when you and did you propose to her? What if she would have said, that sounds good. Nah. Walked away. Would that have given you great encouragement? No. That's what people do to God. But she probably said, yes. And now you're working towards that. That's awesome. And so think about those marriage comparisons. Do you want her to be pure for you?
Yes.
Do you want him to be pure for you? Are you going to be pure for God?
Absolutely.
In your practices? Come out of every false way. I love you, man. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
You've been very kind. I get used to a lot of people, a lot of women attacking me. You were very nice. Thank you. Let us know if we can ever help you. Check out our website. Email us. We'll encourage you. And here's my promise. Find anything wrong on my website that I teach that's wrong, email me and I'll correct it. I'll have my brothers look at it. And if you're if you go and tell your pastor, hey, Matt's a street preacher, man, he's different. They're going to tell you, ready? We're legalists. We're teaching works-based salvation. We're a cult. Never let a man do that. You know what I want you to do? I want you to say, you know what? This guy's name is Tupos. He loves to talk. Pastor, I will call him on the phone. I'll listen. You guys can listen. Pastor, you and him talk. You tell him everything you told me and prove that about him in the scriptures. He'll listen. And he said he's got a bunch of questions for you, Pastor. I've made that offer to several thousand people. How many times do you think I've ever gotten on the phone with a modern pastor that slanders me but won't come to the word? Guess how many times I've gotten on the phone? Zero. Zero. And by the way, Earbleed Music.
Yeah, I hate that.
Earbleed Music. And you know what their leader told me? Where's your amplifier? You're using an amplifier. You can't do that. And I said, no, I got a loud voice. I don't have an amplifier. I have a little amp that I can use. I didn't bring it. Did you see the size of the speakers? Their speakers are bigger than my first apartment. But they yell and scream when I use a little 4-inch amp to just kind of, I don't use it up close to people, distant corners. Oh, they call the police. Stop that. Packer games, we go and preach there. Music. Ah, everybody's screaming, right? They can all use amplification and loud noise. Your pastor uses it. Your band uses it. But the street preacher isn't supposed to use it. Why? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Any questions before I leave you? All right. We love you.
Thank you.
Can I give you a sweaty hug?
Absolutely.
I care for your soul, man. I do. I hope I hear from you.
Thank you.
God be praised. Thank you, ma'am. We love you.